Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman. I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. Today we're going to be looking at the second epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to Timothy. And today's lesson I am going to entitle, Paul's Last Will and Testament, more or less, since this is the last letter that he ever wrote to anybody in the church or anything that we have record of. And we'll give an introduction to the book, letter, and get some interesting background information. We'd like to give a big hearty welcome to everybody who is interested in learning the Word of God and to serve Him better as a consequence. Let's see, the lesson's memory verse. It's found in verse 13 of this same chapter. It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Amen for that. May we learn to hide God's word in our heart, that we may not sin against Him. And we are going to look at we'll start out with verses 1 and 2 to begin with. Now, Paul was arrested under false charges, if you remember, from previous lessons, some of which had to do with the favorite false charge going around at the time of the burning of Rome. He was arrested in the city of Nicopolis, capital Nicopolis. That city is referred to in Titus chapter 4, verse 12. And from there he was sent to Rome in chains to face the prosecutor, Tigellinus, capital Tigellinus, if you'd like to look that up and do further research. He was the Praetorian Prefect at that time, who served to do Nero's bidding, the Emperor Nero. It didn't matter whether justice was done as long as Nero's will was carried out. So it was therefore a one-sided justice system at that time that Paul faced, with the state always being right and the suspect always being guilty. The verdict of any trial was determined beforehand, and some of it had to do with money. If you could buy your way out, you could go free, or if you had some political power, things were a little bit different. So, Paul was sent to a well-established prison system for a second time in his life that held many who were out of favor with the Emperor Nero. The letters to Philemon and Philippians and such were prison epistles written earlier during Paul's very first imprisonment, and they express hope of release and of being able to see his friends once again. Now, in Paul's second letter to Timothy, who remained at Ephesus, Paul expressed a solemn yet hopeful message, but plainly says that his life is coming to a rapid end shortly. In chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, we see this in the words, could be considered of complaint, I guess, that he had been totally abandoned by all his friends. Quote, "At my first answer," which means that That is when I stood in court before the prosecutor for the very first time. No man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. End quote. That's very packed verses there. That was only Paul's first hearing, which didn't result in his immediate execution. This is his first hearing on a second arrest. It was not known how long after this that the execution actually did take place, which usually was by the Roman sword. But since there was nothing else written by Paul after this letter was complete, it can be thought that in all likelihood it did take place a short time later, perhaps just the very next day. Because Paul was a Roman citizen, he did not suffer crucifixion, which was implemented on non-citizens and viewed as a torturous death, but he had a rather swift beheading, which was considered more merciful. A pre-execution beating was optional. So, here we have Paul's last wishes concerning the church and his dear friend Timothy. We ought to give these words special attention, knowing this, for these words are for us as well. The time of the writing of this letter can be thought of as shortly after Paul's first letter to Timothy. So this probably brings the letter up to the date of between 65 through 67 A.D., or more likely 66. That's what I'm thinking, 66 A.D. Anyways, the emperor, Nero, was proclaimed public enemy number one by the Roman Senate in the year 68, which led to his fleeing, that is, the emperor fleeing from the city and undergoing an assisted suicide on June the 9th of that year. It was thought that it was for the good of the state. Though viewed as dangerous and insane by many in the city of Rome, since he had killed his own mother and two of his wives, he nevertheless was fairly popular with the common, less informed citizens in the further eastern provinces. They who had profited by his improvements, such as in the roads and certain systems of government, they expected him, that is Nero, to return. And some didn't really believe he was actually dead, but even if he was, they expected him to rise from the dead. Now, it even went so far as to some thought that the great beast pictured in Revelation chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, is a picture of Nero, capital N-E-R-O, Nero, who would come back from the dead. It is Nero whose name numerically spells 666, which is an indication of his great wickedness. He was the Antichrist of his time, just as Nebuchadnezzar was of his time, or Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the last of the Julio-Claudian dynasty, those who descended from Julius Caesar. Now, he had many killed, executed, and punished before passing from the scene. And these were almost always under false pretenses, including our beloved Paul. Now, let's take a brief look at chapter 1 of Paul's second letter to Timothy. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. That's the first learning block. So if you read with me, may the Lord bless our reading and our understanding of what he has to say to us. Quote, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. End quote. Paul reminds us who he is and his authority in the church. This authority came about not through his choice, but by the will of God. The will of God is an underlying theme of this letter. And because it was God's will, that Paul was in this situation. He was appointed an apostle for or because of the promise of life in Christ Jesus. One facing death cherishes life and the promises found in it. One must realize that life brings many promises with it and great hope. Paul, therefore, looks beyond the grave to a greater life and a greater hope, and the promise of eternal life found in Christ Jesus, who is the hope of us all. This letter is addressed to Timothy and the church at Ephesus, which is described to be in the very first letter to the churches in the book of Revelation. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 is the section addressed to the Ephesian church. But it is generally Paul's letter to Timothy is generally accepted as addressed to the whole living body of believers everywhere, and not just the Ephesian church. All right, let's take a look at verses 3 through 6. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. End quote. Paul stated here a little of his background heritage, in that he was Jewish and his ancestors, he believed in what his ancestors believed. He also believed it faithfully. He hadn't wavered from the faith of his ancestors. This was said to state that faith was in his background and likewise in Timothy's background as well. So they had something in common. unfeigned faith is very important, because faith that is not real and true just never works and produces unhappy results for those who are involved. Seven through 11. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul tells Timothy not to be fearful of the future, because God has given us not fear, but power, love, and a sound mind through the gift of eternal life, which is given before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus. Truthfully, God, through his word, had given us confidence backed by the power and will of God. We are to rest confidently that his providence will be carried out, and that for the good of all that love him, to God's glory. We are therefore not to ever doubt or find ourselves opposite the stand of Paul, Jesus Christ, or his infallible word. Now, this is exactly the position of the so-called higher critics. They stand in opposition. They are the ones who bring doubt with their words and schemes, not faith, claiming to know more than Paul, and he only being a product of his time, or that the word of God is outdated or even corrupt, like they know better. So that is apostasy. We are not to believe or listen to such for even a moment, but are to rest assured in the sure word given to us. So we are not to fear what people can do to us, people like Nero, who had his soldiers bear the sword, because Nero, he lived to only be 30 years old before his assisted suicide. So the things of earth are only temporal, even if they are pretty terrible while they last. Verses 12 through 14. Quote, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." End quote. Here is the main and strongest charge Paul gave to Timothy, as well as to all of us. All of us who hold fast to the faith. Can you pick out that charge in what I've just read? We are not to be ashamed of the gospel, such as to hide it timidly. And though bad things befall us, we are not to fear, for truth will triumph through us. Rest assured in all this, he is able to keep us until that great day we see him face to face. Obviously, according to what Paul says here, we are to hold fast to not only the substance of the doctrine delivered to us originally by Paul, Christ, and the other apostles, but also the very form of the given doctrine. This phrase concerning form authorizes doctrinal statements. This phrase concerning form authorizes doctrinal statements, so long as they are accurately faithful to the original scriptures. Now, Paul's last will and testament holds that we are to be strong in the Lord and faithful until the end. Verses 12 through 14 is very important. Paul himself was an example of this, following his Lord. Verses 15 through 18. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Paul stated that he had no company of companions anymore, though once surrounded by them. He was abandoned, so he had hopes that Timothy may shortly, before winter, come to Rome to see him. Now, it doesn't appear that Timothy, that Paul lasted through the winter to see Timothy. Now, Onesiphorus had made quite an effort to find Paul, who was more or less stashed away in a large maze of nondescript prison cells. Efforts such as these to visit those in need, who are practically abandoned by friends and family, can be greatly appreciated, bringing cheer and hope. And that is a tremendous ministry. Now, we'll stop here and close this lesson with the thoughts that Paul has left us as being of utmost importance. Quote, hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And with that, we'll close this lesson with a word of prayer. Bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for these words that You inspired Paul to write. We thank Thee that they are preserved for our reading and edification. We thank Thee for sending Thy Son to die for us, that we might have eternal life, and for the Holy Spirit who teaches and guides us. Pray now that You'll bring these words into our heart and cause us to stand fast upon thy word and upon sound doctrine, and to hold these things as of utmost importance, as Paul wanted us to. Cause us, Lord, to be students of thy word, that we might serve thee better and with all our hearts, and to grow spiritually by our obedience through the Holy Spirit. Pray now also for each one of our requests. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that thy word will be exalted and spread throughout the earth. We pray for thy rapid and quick return. We pray also for our leaders, those in authority over us, for the president and other leaders in our nation, as well as around the world, that you will guide and direct and cause our leaders to walk in the paths of righteousness. We pray also for peace in our land. We also pray for the sick who may not even be able to get out of bed. We pray for strength for them. And we ask for that you will just look out for each one of the needs, and according to your riches in glory. We ask now that you will cause us to look to thee with thanksgiving. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray these things. Amen.